Duke. He is our executive director for our Montana Southern Baptist Convention, and he agreed to come and preach. And I don't know what he's talking about either, so we're all going to be blessed together, I think. We hope so. We are, totally. All right, come on up.
Morning, church.
Good morning.
I am really glad to be with you today. Vince and I ate over at the restaurant over on Main, the Griddle, last night. Saw the trunk or treat poster, not only on their door, but on the building next to their door as well. So it looks to me like you've gotten your trunk or treat posters around town really well. So congratulations on that. Now, we want to pray for a great harvest, right? And lots of kids showing up. And so we need a few more trunks out there. So hope some of the others will bring a car by or a truck by or something. So there are plenty of trunks out there to put all the goodies in for all the kids that will be stopping by. I want you to know, I just love and appreciate your church. Love and appreciate Brother Chad, Shannon. Thank you for sharing Chad with us. He is the president of the Montana Southern Baptist Convention this year in his second term, and he's done a fantastic job, I want you to know. I count on him for his counsel, and he oftentimes takes calls from me while he's on his horse. So I know he's taking his job seriously, but he'll stop long enough to talk to me on his phone while he's riding his horse. But I understood that a little bit better when I went down and did study just a few minutes ago and saw that he was an Eagle Scout. Clearly, he's a guy who takes things seriously, right? I just barely got made it through first class. You know, I mean, I made it through first class scout kicking and screaming. Basically, the scoutmaster had to hold my hand and help me through all the components of that. I just didn't quite get with the program. But your pastor is that kind of a man. Takes on a commitment, and he gives himself to it, and he does the very best that he can with it. And Montana Baptists are grateful for him. I am grateful for him. And your presence here in the spirit of this church is evidence as well of his ministry to you. So I just want you to know your pastor is loved and appreciated around the convention. And I know he's been really nervous about how things have gone. Do we have any kind of report? Nothing. Yeah. Okay, so he's just headed down there today. Oh, all right. The plane leaving got held up. Holy golly. But we know about that. We've had about half of our flights held up somewhere, either leaving here or coming back. This is the hardest state in the Union to get in and out of. You understand that, right? It really is. I mean, you got to give up a day to leave and a day to get back. And so we've been praying for him as he is off defending his work, and I'm confident that the professor will be very favorable toward the work that he's done. So, as you heard, I'm the executive director of the Montana Southern Baptist Convention. Been here almost 3 years now, and we're just really enjoying ourselves. Coming here is kind of coming back for us. Denise and I moved to Denver, Colorado in 1983 and planted a church there and pastored there for a little over a dozen years. And so we were out on the East Coast for a while. And now coming to Montana is for us coming back to our roots, coming back to the West and ministry that basically I cut my teeth on. And we're having such a great time here in the state, beautiful people of God. And great needs as well, right? I mean, the needs are absolutely tremendous. Sometimes we kind of get to feeling like it's all on us. We're all alone out here, and nobody's paying attention, and nobody knows the struggles that we have in our particular churches, in our particular locations. And some churches choose life like that. They choose to be disconnected. They choose to be completely independent from everything else. Well, your church and the Montana Southern Baptist Convention churches have come to the understanding that we are more effective working together to advance the gospel than we are simply actually trying to be islands to ourselves. And your church has made that commitment. You are members of the Montana Southern Baptist Convention. And I want you to know we're grateful for that. We appreciate your partnership in the gospel and your commitment to being about not only what you can accomplish here in Shelby, but beyond Shelby, throughout Montana and around the world through your combined work with other Southern Baptist congregations. To me, working together in our various congregations is more biblical, even though it presents a different set of challenges sometimes. It's still more biblical than churches that simply choose to be Lone Ranger congregations. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians, and we're not going to camp here very long, but it's a really important passage. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. And in that passage in chapter 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul reminds us that Christ is the head of the church. Now, it's really important when you read that verse closely to realize that Paul said Christ is the head of the church. He didn't say Christ is the head of the churches, which we might think we would expect him to say because we have all these churches, right? But he didn't, because Paul understood that there is really only one church. It is all of those who have come to believe in God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are all part of one church, but God in his wisdom has called us out into separate local congregations to carry on the work that needs to be done in different communities. But we should never miss this reality that we are part of one church, the body of Christ. And it's appropriate for all of the body of Christ to work together to accomplish what the head, Christ, wants done. In fact, it's as unnatural for a congregation, for a church, not to work with other churches to get the work done that needs to be done throughout the world. It's as unnatural for churches not to work together as it would be for the parts of our bodies not to work together. A number of years ago, I had back problems for a long time, and I developed this thing called drop foot. I don't know if you guys know what drop foot is, but it's a situation where you develop pressure on your spinal cord. And that pressure on your spinal cord, it gets so bad that your brain can't send signals down to it, to your foot, and you can't make your foot work. And I got to the place where I would walk most evenings, and I got to the place where I couldn't walk. Normally you just kind of walk like this. The heel touches, right, and then the rest of the foot comes down. Well, with drop foot, you had no control, so you can get the heel to touch. But then as soon as you move forward, the rest of the foot just slaps the ground like that. It's the stupidest thing you ever saw. No control. I had no control over my foot at all. That was unnatural. And it sounded pretty stupid, too, because as Denise and I were walking, we'd walk oftentimes together, and we'd walk, and this one foot would just slap the ground like that as we were walking. I was embarrassed that my foot would slap the ground. But I had no control over it. Nothing I could do about it at all. I had to go in. I had to go and have surgery on my back to get that pressure off my spinal cord so that my foot would work again. Guess what? If you neglect that, you can actually get to the place where you can't fix it. Just like other parts of our bodies, if you neglect it long enough, you may not be able to fix it. Sometimes churches get that way. They get so closed in, they get so self-centered, they get so involved with what they want to do that it's nearly impossible to get them any longer to think about anything other or anybody else than themselves. Paul reminded us there that we are all part of one body, and for that body to work as God intended it to work, all of the pieces have to work together and do their part, just like our physical body. The same thing needs to happen for the church. Sometimes people need some illustration in just exactly how important that is. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to take a few snapshots. In case you're here, maybe you've come out of an independent background and you're just used to always churches being completely independent, not working with other churches. Or maybe you just wonder whether or not this is really good for anything. You know, I see money going out. You know, I see money going to the Montana Southern Baptist Convention. But, you know, we can use it here. Is there really any value in this connection that we have as independent churches making all of our own decisions, and yet part of that decision-making process is to hold hands with other congregations of like faith and practice to do more with others than we can do here by ourselves? And we're going to look at just a few snapshots in the book of Acts to see that it is biblical for us to work together as separate congregations, all banding together to do another work. And we're going to do that as we look at these early churches working together, and we're going to see that our working together as an association of churches in Montana is as biblical as the first century church. They worked together. Let's see how they did it. First of all, start with me in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. They just had this incredible time of persecution in the church. Christians had been driven out of Jerusalem. They were establishing new works everywhere they went. And they established this incredible work in Antioch, which is north of Jerusalem. And interestingly, all of the missionary activity, for the most part, that you read about in the book of Acts, we oftentimes think of that great church in Jerusalem as being, you know, the hotbed of evangelism and missionary activity. But actually, it was this church in Antioch that actually was the church that was most committed to advancing the gospel around the world. And we find this church established, and we see them in Acts chapter 11. And look what they do, Acts chapter 11, verse 27. At this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Okay, remember, you're always going down from Jerusalem, or you're always going up to Jerusalem. Every time you read in the Bible, somebody's going to Jerusalem, they're always going up to Jerusalem. Anytime they're leaving Jerusalem, they're always going down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was basically the center of the world. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. They took up an offering. They took up an offering in their church in Antioch, and they sent that offering, and it tells us even who carried that offering, right? It says they sent it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders in the church of Jerusalem. These first century churches, I mean, this is about as early as you can get in the development of their early church. And these first century churches were working together to meet other Christians' physical needs. And they took up an offering and they sent it out of their community, not because they couldn't have found a need for it. There were plenty of needs in Antioch, but they understood that there were others in need as well. And they took up an offering to help others outside of themselves. Well, we do the same thing at Montana Southern Baptist Life. There's lots of different ways that we help each other. You give to the Montana Southern Baptist Convention's mission, state missions offering. We use that state missions offering right here in the state to help people in the state with different needs. A large portion of that money goes to help pastors in emergency situations. We call it a pastor's emergency fund. And I've been here 3 years, and we have given thousands of dollars to pastors to go be with a family member who's sick, to go to a funeral of a family member. We paid for our pastors to get cancer treatment and help them with their deductibles on their insurance, because I think you know, our pastors don't make that much money. And we have the pastor's emergency fund to help them out a little bit. Well, there's no money in that fund if our churches don't give to the state missions offering. I would hate it if we were ever to have to tell one of our pastors, I'm sorry, we can't help you with your cancer treatment. We can't help you be at your mother's funeral. You came to Montana 2,000 miles away. I'm sorry your mother is dying and we can't help you get there. I hate for that ever to happen. So far, I haven't had to say that, because you, along with our other churches in Montana Baptist Life, have given to the state missions offering to help create that fund. We also have a disaster relief fund, and we put into that disaster relief fund. We helped buy sandbags for Missoula last year when they had all the high water in the flooding in Missoula. We spent $2,000 on sandbags that one of our churches took out to try to save some homes and save some communities from flooding. We have disaster relief vehicles here in the state that go around to different areas in the community, like when you have the fires. We have a trailer that will show up, provide showers for people working in those fields. We have men who will go out and rebuild fences. We provide the food for them. We provide the housing for them, everything that they need, just so that they can go out and help one of their Montana neighbors. We have that because of the state missions offering. And it's not just us. We who do that. I don't know whether you know it. The Southern Baptist Convention, you know, there's about 50,000 congregations in the Southern Baptist Convention. About 15 million people count themselves as Southern Baptists along with us here. And they all give to offerings. And they all contribute to a common pool. And one of those things that they support regularly in all of their states is disaster relief. And Southern Baptists have committed themselves so much to disaster relief that we are the third largest disaster relief organization in the country. It's one of our best kept secrets. Hardly anybody wants to talk about it. But the only people that do more in caring for people in times of disaster are Catholic Relief Services and the Red Cross. We are the third largest organization meeting disaster needs in the nation. A lot of people don't know that all of the meals that the Red Cross serves, wherever Southern Baptists show up to help, Southern Baptists cook every single meal that the Red Cross gives away. A lot of people don't know that. We don't brag about that stuff. It's just something you ought to do. It's just helping people because you have the means to help. Well, we couldn't do that if we were simply a bunch of independent congregations, just doing our own thing, shutting ourselves in, tending to our own little world, and just letting the rest of the world take care of itself. We have a hunger fund. We have a hunger fund that we help to stock food pantries in our churches. Church calls me up, says, Barrett, we're concerned about hungry people in our community. We'd like to provide something for them. I write $1,000 checks on a regular basis to help stock food pantries in our churches so that somebody in your community or another community can come in and their children don't have to be hungry. And they don't have to be hungry. That money doesn't just show up out of nowhere. It shows up because Montana Baptists care. And Montana Baptists understand that they are about something bigger than themselves and are willing to share. That's not just old money. We go as well. We go. We have a disaster relief director. And in fact, he's looking for people right now that will work with them when we do have disasters in the state or beyond, who will go make those trips along with them to help meet people's needs and help care for people. Southern Baptist Convention has a World Hunger Fund. 100% of that money goes to feeding people. You know, there's hardly ever a ministry where people collect money for it and all of the money goes to that ministry. In some situations, parachurch organizations use half of the money they raise just to pay their salaries. Well, we pay the salaries of people who distribute hunger relief money through other sources of money so that we know every single dollar Southern Baptists give to the Southern Baptist World Hunger Fund goes to pay for food and human needs resources. It doesn't go to pay a single salary because we're paying salaries for other needs. We have all of this. We're doing these things, not just the tip of the iceberg. We have a church down in Hamilton right now. They're refurbishing an old church building so that they can begin to minister to women at risk. Women in sex trafficking and women in dangerous situations, in domestic abuse situations. And they are renovating an old church building so that they can have these ladies come into a safe space and minister to them. You, through giving to the Montana Southern Baptist Convention State Fund, as well as to the Crawford Program, which we'll talk about in a little while, are helping to pay for that and helping to get that done because we have sent money to them to help them get that done. We will continue to send money to them because that is a ministry worth doing. We are simply following the example of the first century church in that. And yet there's more. Look with me at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now, that we're in Antioch. Antioch again. Every time you read through the book of Acts, Antioch keeps showing up when you want to know who was doing something. It was the Christians at Antioch. There were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. They were all there in this church. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And of course, we know what they were going to do, right? They were going to preach the gospel outside of Antioch. See, the churches of the first century worked together also to advance the gospel. It wasn't only about Antioch. It was about the world. It was about reaching the world with the gospel. And they were willing to give up some of their own people to go out and do that. Can you imagine having Barnabas and Saul in your church and then say, "You guys go do that someplace else"? I want to keep them right there. That's not what God was doing. God was saying, "You're an outpost for me, an equipping station for me, to prepare others to go out from there and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth." So it's for us today to do the same, to call out our own, to call on our young men, to call on our young women, and to say, "Is God calling you into gospel ministry? Is God calling you to be the one to take the gospel to a new place, to a new people have not yet heard?" And we call out our own. We pray over them and we send them out. And we voluntarily give funds to help that happen as well. You give to the Cooperative Program. I want you to know we're grateful for every single dollar you give to the Cooperative Program. It is a voluntary giving program that churches choose to give to if they want to. I understand it's not always easy to get that money out. I told you, we started a church, a pastor of a church. The only reason I had a salary was because other churches were giving the cooperative program. I was being supported by money other churches were given so that I could dedicate myself to planting a new church in Denver, Colorado. We've got such a great thing here that we can simply pay people to go preach the gospel. They don't have to work jobs oftentimes. They just preach the gospel. And here in this state, because of all of our churches voluntarily giving to the cooperative program, we were able to fund work all around the state. And as a body of churches, not only this church, but as a body of churches, we baptized over 600 people last year as Montana Baptists. You baptized some of those, but you were also holding hands with other congregations, also baptizing others. And working together, giving to that common fund, Southern Baptist baptized over 300,000 people just in this nation last year, reaching them with the gospel, challenging them to follow Christ, baptizing them. We had one church that we helped do outreach activity the first year I was here. One Sunday, they went down to the river nearby. They baptized more people than that one Sunday that they never baptized in a year in the entire existence of that church. They baptized more people on one Sunday because we were able to help them do new outreach activities. And because they did new outreach activities, they reached new people. They won them to faith in Christ and the challenge of the follow of the Lord. We helped you with your rodeo. What a great thing. I love that rodeo. Fantastic. Some of the funds that you used for that came from other churches in Montana. So I'm glad to send that check up here. I hope you guys will do that rodeo every year. Do it twice a year. I think it was just fantastic. That's the value of working together to preach the gospel. And the amazing thing about it is that that sacrifice, and I know it's a sacrifice. Many times I would sign that check to the cooperative program knowing that there were things that I would like to do right there in my own community with that money. There was always something else I could spend that money on, but I knew we were committed to work together. And so we put into the pot. Others put into the pot. The Southern Baptists put it into the pot. And because the Southern Baptist work has been around longer in other places, and they're putting their funds into that same fund, we actually get more money back into the state than we sent out of the state. We sent about $180,000 out of the state last year. I know it's an amazing thing. Southern Baptist gave $700,000 for the cooperative program in Montana last year. Can you believe it? 135 churches gave over $700,000 to the cooperative program. We sent $180,000 of that out of the state, and we got more than $500,000 back from the North American Mission Board to do work here in the state. Because we are in partnership with other churches as well. And the money is simply going where the needs are the greatest. And the workers are the fewest. Because of that contribution, you're helping to support around 4,000 missionaries around the world, and another 5,000 missionaries here in the United States. And your contribution to the cooperative program is helping to pay their salaries so that they don't have to spend half their time raising money. And that's what happens for most missionaries. They spend half their time just going from church to church to church, asking them to give them some money so they can do what God's called them to do. We don't do that in Southern Baptist life. We say, God called you, here's your paycheck. Just go do it. That's a great thing. That's why Southern Baptists are being so effective at reaching the world for Christ. And that there's more. Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. All the way to the end of Acts chapter 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let's return and visit the brethren in every city where we proclaim the gospel, the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along because he had deserted them in the work in Pamphylia and had not gone along with Paul, and Paul didn't like that, so he didn't trust John to stay with him. And so Paul said, no, we're not going to do that. So there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him, sailed off to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and he left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So at first we see that these two guys couldn't get along and going out. And we say, wow, what a tragedy. But guess what happened? All of that was there were two groups going out instead of one. Barnabas took somebody with him, Paul took somebody with him, and all of a sudden you had two groups going out where there used to be one. And then it tells us, and Paul went through the Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They went out to strengthen the churches, to pour themselves into other works, to give up what they had in terms of their experience and their knowledge and their ability and their money, and they poured that into other works. To make those other works stronger like they were as well. And we do the same thing right here. Pouring into others to help them be strong as well. I told you about this church in Denver that we started. We built our first congregation with volunteer workers. We built that first church building with volunteer workers. That's an amazing thing. We have a church not too far from here down in Helena, Big Sky Fellowship. They built their building with volunteer workers. Other Southern Baptists coming to this state, bringing their skills and their ability, their hammers and their saws and their nails, and bringing all of that here and building a church building. Not for themselves. They were from Mississippi. They were from Alabama. They were from North Carolina. Coming here to assist another congregation with the work of preaching the gospel in Helena. We have pastors traveling around right now in this state, meeting with other pastors, encouraging them. We have one pastor meeting with 10 pastors every month, just encouraging them in the way. Because we understand that we're in this together. And we're only as effective as all of us are doing our part. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside and to help us with that. Because you get it, the property program here in Montana, you're able to have an association that's able to help with that. And my salary to come around and minister when your pastor needs to be out of the pulpit. I can be right here and I can share the word with you while he goes and does what God's called on him to do. We have a church strengthening director that comes around and works with our churches to help them become more effective in making disciples. Right now, we're looking for people to take a trip to Peru, a mission trip to Peru in August. We will pay half of the cost for 10 to 15 people who are from a church that hasn't sent anybody to the mission field in the last 10 years. We will pay half of the cost for those people to make a mission trip as Montana Baptists to Peru to share the gospel. But we're looking for others as well. Maybe you'll be part of that missions team that will go from here and preach the gospel in Peru. We just approved an Alberta partnership. We're going to work with our churches in Alberta to preach the gospel there. I mean, you're closer to those churches in Alberta than you are to where I live right now in Billings. We're working together to do this. So as I said, it is biblical churches to work together. It is biblical for them to join hands and to share their resources, not only pray for each other, but also to give their lives and their resources, their time to the advancement of the kingdom around the world. So the Baptists are doing that voluntarily. You're doing that voluntarily. And you are making a difference, not only in Shelby. This is your first place of calling, but beyond Shelby as well. And so, as I said, last year, Montana Baptist gave over $700,000 to the property program. And we we sent 25% of that out of the state. And you're helping to support 4,000 missionaries around the world, 5,000 missionaries here in the United States. You're helping to support six seminaries to prepare pastors. In fact, your pastor right now is on his way to one of those seminaries, equipping himself to do the work of ministry here better. And so the Baptists are helping to pay for that with the proper program. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Let me tell you, working together, we are greater than the sum of our parts. Working together, we will accomplish what God has called the people known as Southern Baptists. We will care for each other, support each other, and we will do more than anyone could ever have imagined as we work together, as we join arms together to reach the world for Christ. Thank you for what you're doing, and God bless you here and beyond here as you follow the Lord. Now, maybe that through this time this morning, there's somebody in here saying, well, you know, that all sounds really good, but I've got problems. I need God in my life. Well, all of that is good, but there's nothing better than you coming to know God through Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you not to leave this building today without having trust in Jesus as your Savior, because until you know Jesus as your Savior, you're not part of this body. You're not part of that. Because first, you must have Christ in your life. Be a part of the church, be a part of this body. So this morning, before you leave here, I'm here, you have deacons here. Find someone in this place before you leave. Tell that one, even Jesus, as you're saying. Do we have a new song? Okay. We're going to finish with a song. I'll be here. Pray with you if God has spoken to you in some kind of way. Find someone and tell them and ask them to pray for you before you leave here today. Jen, I'm going to turn back over to you.